Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Good morning. This is Amy Loboda, your host of FAA's Managing Safety here at Sun and Fun 2011. I have with me Hayden Malone. He's the Program Director of Airline Training Solutions in Jacksonville, Florida. And he's got a very unusual today, not in the future necessarily, twin-engine aircraft that he has decided to utilize for training in his program. Hayden, tell us what you've got.
It's called a Tecnam P2006T, kind of an unfortunate name because it makes it sound like it's a 2006, but it is a twin engine powered by twin Rotax engine, engines that gets very, very good fuel economy and is an excellent little airplane and flies wonderfully.
Hayden, tell me, which Rotax engines have they put on this beast?
These are the 912s, 98 horsepower aside, yet it gives wonderful performance because the airplane weighs essentially the same amount as a Cessna 172.
You're talking about a twin-engine airplane that weighs the same as a Cessna 172, and how many people you get in it?
You can put four people in it, and but it's, I don't know if I should say the useful load. The useful load is only 880 pounds, so it's not really a four-passenger airplane.
That's fair enough, but because of that, it makes a terrific trainer, because most of the time you're training with two or three people and reduced fuel load, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And the airplane was specifically designed, to be honest with you, is to be a twin-engine training aircraft. It actually cost me about the same amount to fly as a Cessna 172 does.
With both engines running?
Both engines running. It burns 9 to 10 gallons an hour total, 5 per side, and the maintenance is about the same as on the 172. So
from a flight school's position, this is just a terrific airplane. The other thing I notice is I'm looking at the geometry of the airplane, and it's a high wing. It's got those twin Rotax engines pretty darn close to the fuselage. You think that's for a reason?
It is. It reduces the asymmetrical thrust. You would think that would increase the cabin noise, but in reality, the props are turning much slower because it's geared engines, so it doesn't cause a problem. It's actually quite quiet inside.
The other nice thing is those engines have water jackets. And so from a cooling standpoint, from a reduction so that you can practice single engine maneuver standpoint, I would think as a flight instructor myself that it makes for much less wear and tear on those engines.
You're absolutely correct. Shock cooling to the front cylinders is obviously always a problem with air-cooled engines. These are the cylinder heads are liquid cooled, so that is not a problem. You can shut them down without any damage whatsoever.
That is really exciting. We're going to talk a little bit more about Airline Training Solutions, which is the company that you own in Jacksonville. Which airport are you flying out of?
We're flying out of Craig. They're now calling it Jacksonville Executive Airport, but it's still Craig, CRG.
Yes, CRG to everybody out there, KCRG, which is a great airport. It does have an ILS approach, correct?
Yes, it does.
All right.
Runway 32.
Runway 32, if I remember correctly, and has been a nice training airport for a long, long time. You got a little bit of buffer area, coming and going's not tough.
No, it's an excellent airport to fly out of for training. It's been used for that for many years. We've had the original flight training school. We've had it there for 11 years, and the charter company's been there for 9 years. We like Craig a lot.
One thing that I've noticed is that you've got a new program that is really different than what other people are doing, and you are training pilots for crew resource management right from the very beginning.
That's correct. This program is specifically set up for people who want to become professional pilots. We actually had the program designed before the new laws were passed that were going to require so many hours. But the idea is that they will start from day one in the twin. They don't ever have to get into a single engine ever unless they want to. It will start from day one in the twin and also from day one. In real life flying, whether it be in charter or in airlines, it really is pilot flying and pilot not flying. So the captain's always the captain, but on one takeoff and landing, he's actually doing all the first officer duties. And on the next takeoff and landing, he's doing his normal captain duties. And so we're teaching that from the very beginning. It'll be pilot flying, pilot not flying, and crew resource management obviously is the key to all of that, you know.
Absolutely. We're going to come back in just a minute to continue our conversation. We're going to take a quick break with Hayden Malone of Airline Training Solutions.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Labota and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back to FAA's Managing Safety Podcast. I am your host, Amy Labota. I am the editor-in-chief of Aviation for Women magazine. But today, we're here at Sun and Fun 2011 with Hayden Malone. He is the program director of Airline Training Solutions in Jacksonville, Florida, out of KCRG, which is Craig Airport. He is working with a very interesting concept, which is that you start crew resource management from the very beginning. You put two people in the cockpit, you train them on a multi-engine airplane because that's what they're going to be using, and he's using the Technam P2006T twin-engine aircraft, which is a very efficient aircraft because it's got twin Rotax 912s on it, and they make for a very good airplane for training your burn-in. You told me
nine to ten gallons
an hour in a twin-engine airplane, and it's taken gasoline or whatever you can put in it. If I remember, the Rotax are very reasonable about what they'll burn.
That's correct. They can even burn the fuel with alcohol in it, just so long. That's an all-metal airplane,
right?
And it was designed for that. You don't necessarily want to do that with a plastic airplane.
No, you don't. That's exactly right. All your instructors are active jet charter pilots, so you've got instructors who are flying actively in crewed airplanes teaching crew resource management. That just makes sense.
It does. We have three jets and a King Air turboprop, and the airplanes fly regularly, and so we are also going to teach them systems, aircraft systems, our own systems on our jets, because pressurization, anti-ice, de-ice, and whatever, is it works exactly the same on a Citation XL as it does on a 747. So
right.
It's just a matter of size the difference. So we will be teaching them about the systems, and then our pilots will be teaching them about the systems in the air, what it's like.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I'm looking at this airplane, and we're talking systems, and I notice that it's a little different from some of the other things I see out here on the field. It's got all analog instrumentation. You want to explain why you chose to have it outfitted with analog instrumentation for your training scenarios?
Absolutely. My son came up through the normal, Scott Malone, he came up through the normal channels, and then he went to fly for the airlines and whatever, and he is an absolute, well, so am I. We are firm believers that you don't train instrument pilots on flat panels. Once they are good instrument pilots, yeah, you can put them behind a flat panel display, but our experience is that if you train them in flat panels, they even have trouble going to a different brand of flat panel, and they most certainly can't fly what everybody calls steam gauges. So,
well, and when you say flat panel, what you really mean is an electronic flight information system, an EFIS, which is a glass digital panel cockpit, G1000, G2000, we just saw with the touch screen and everything like that. But you're a firm believer that those round analog instruments, which are actually a little harder to learn to interpret
That's
in the
correct.
Beginning, are a better way to start people out with their raw data instrumentation so they understand what the raw data is before they get into a situation where a computer crunches numbers and gives them a digital moving map readout of everything. Now, I actually agree with you on that. I have been teaching for 30 years, and I can tell you that airline captains who have spent three-quarters of their career on a Honeywell or whatever it is today, display, Rockwell Collins displays, can't fly a raw data approach anymore to save their life. They don't know where to look, and that's a shame because they still have a standby ADI
panel. It's required, and the, you know, when you're doing it this way, we can blank off certain instruments and have them do partial panel displays, which is really hard on the other one. And like you said, with if the thing decides to go the quit on you, what do you do next? And unless you've been trained, you know. So I totally agree. We all agree that that's the only way to start, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the other problem I've found with the glass display systems is that the learning curve for the operations of them is very steep in the beginning and entails not flying skills at all, but computer operation skills.
That's correct.
Any FMS, flight management system, which is what we're rolling to in some of these sophisticated systems, requires you to learn the box. Learning
exactly.
The box is not the same thing as learning how to control an airplane in the sky. Would you
agree? I totally agree. You know, once you get into the jets and everything, our different jets have different FMS systems, and you have to learn to work back and forth between them as well. And that is a whole different category, one that you can learn much better once you have become a pilot, and once you're familiar and comfortable with all the normal systems of flying an airplane, then the transitioning over to something where you're playing with the box is much simpler. So.
Absolutely. And so what you're doing is trying to create pilots first, and pilots who are going to be able to work together in a cockpit, and
That's
then
correct.
Building on those skills to get them to a place where they're ready to go for that first type rating.
That is exactly what we're trying to do.
Excellent. This is at KCRG. It's Airline Training Solutions. Aiden, would you like to tell them where they can find you here on the field during Sun and Fun 2011?
Certainly. We're at the Tecnum site, and where they have all the Tecnums. We have our Airline Training Solutions aircraft here. They asked us if we would put ours on display. So come by the Tecnum site, which is just...
Well, you're out here as you approach the flight line for the home builds, almost at Air Show Center.
Yes.
So take a look. It's a big tent. It says Tecnum on the outside. Also, where can they find Airline Training Solutions on the web if they want to look?
AirlineTrainingSolutions.com.
Excellent. AirlineTrainingSolutions.com. Hayden Malone, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us here today at FAA's Managing Safety. Have a great show.
And thank you, Amy. I appreciate that.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at FAAProductionStudios.com to hear past programs.